You may be seated. Our text this morning is Matthew 15, 21 through 28. It should be printed out in your bulletin, but we'll briefly glance at verses 1 through 20 to start. So having a Bible open may be helpful. Before diving in, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, grant that we may hear your word this morning and that by it we may behold Jesus Christ as our only help in this life and the next. Amen. Right before our chosen text, Jesus engages in a heated debate with the Pharisees and scribes over their traditions, which they have elevated over God's law, taking the Old Testament cleanliness laws and adding extra prescriptions, such as cleaning one's hands before eating, proved that these men did not understand the reason for those laws in the first place. They thought that righteousness was attained by not just following God's outward law, but their own laws as well. Jesus explains that what makes a person unclean is not what he eats, but what comes out of his heart, what he says, and what he does. The Pharisees and scribes have very clean hands, but their hearts are defiled. If you can believe it, the Pharisees are offended by Jesus calling them out. They refuse to hear the teaching that he offers. They are rather content with their traditions, their clean hands. It is on the heels of this debate where, in verse 21, Jesus goes away from the land of Israel and withdraws to the district of Tyre and Sidon. A 40 to 50 mile trek, Jesus journeys with his disciples into unclean Gentile territory. Tyre and Sidon were great seaports on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea in the region of Phoenicia, which is modern-day Lebanon. If you are one of Jesus' disciples, you're probably wondering, why is he leading you so far into this region? What could Jesus possibly do or show you here? And then, in the distance, growing stronger and stronger, is the wailing of another person in need of Jesus' healing touch. In verse 22, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." In Mark's account, he calls this woman Syrophoenician, indicating her nationality. Matthew calls her a Canaanite to indicate something else. In the Old Testament, you may remember the Canaanites were those people who were descended from Canaan, the grandson of Noah, and those who occupied the land of Canaan. Now, God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they would inherit that land. Then when the time came for God's people to take it, they were ordered to utterly destroy the Canaanites. The reason for doing this was not political or racially motivated, but it was God's judgment on the wickedness of the people in the land. The Canaanites worshipped gods of their own making, and their pagan practices were abominable. They engaged in dark magic and even sacrificed their own children in religious ceremonies. They were the unclean ones, debased and worthy of purging from the land. Yet if one reads Joshua and Judges, it's apparent that Israel did not wipe away the Canaanites completely. In fact, they intermarried with them and were drawn away from the true God to many false gods. The Canaanites remained in the land and remained a snare to the Israelites, and they were the antithesis of what God wanted his people to be. It is a woman from this idolatrous and morally corrupt people that cries out after Jesus, a Canaanite, the arch nemesis of God's people, the unclean of the unclean. What could she possibly expect from the holy and pure one? Well, she pursues Jesus, but notice that she doesn't approach Jesus in the same way the Pharisees and scribes do. The latter group come to Jesus asking why his disciples do not follow their traditions. This woman does no such thing. She does not stand above Jesus, demanding that he explain himself like a judge questioning a criminal. She does not presume that she will receive anything. Rather, she begs for mercy. Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. We all know those people who make excuses when they mess up. Perhaps you have done that yourself. I know I have. After being caught procrastinating and not getting a job done on time, the reasons for why it's not done commence. Asking for mercy, however, requires that you own up to the wrong and simply ask for pardon, that your teacher or your boss would not treat you as you deserve. This woman is at the end of her rope and only has one option. She does not come ready to negotiate. She does not strut up to Jesus with a sense of entitlement, claiming what is rightfully hers. Nothing is rightfully hers. She knows that she deserves nothing good from Jesus, yet she screams and cries out for him to turn and relieve her of her anguish. She is a Canaanite, the unclean one. But she, unlike the Pharisees and scribes, knows whom she addresses and that mercy is the only proper request. O Lord, Son of David. Now the word Lord can be a title of respect, much like sir. However, it is in her second declaration that reveals that this is more than a formality. Son of David is clearly a messianic title. Living near Israel, perhaps she has heard about the coming Messiah who would save his people. And she, though not a Jew, confesses that Jesus is that Messiah. And if he can save the Jews, he can have mercy on her and her daughter. Surely, she may have thought, if he has come to bear the sorrows of Israel, he is more than able to carry my burden. But crying out with her voice becoming hoarse, no aid is given. Her petition falls on seemingly deaf ears. Verse 23, but he, Jesus, did not answer her a word. Jesus, who healed every disease and affliction brought to him. Jesus, who had compassion on the crowds, for they were sheep without a shepherd. Jesus, who ate with sinners and tax collectors and accepted all who came to him. This Jesus looks on, undeterred by the woman's cries for mercy. She cries all the more. She is unwilling to leave Jesus alone. The disciples beg, send her away, for she is crying out after us. Jesus, either tell this woman to leave or grant her request so she'll just stop bothering us. This is not a hard thing for Jesus to do. He could heal this woman's daughter by just saying the word. He's done it before. But he continues on in silence as the woman wails for mercy. Have you ever been ignored by someone? You try to speak with them and they look the other way? It's demeaning. When I get the sense that I'm not worth someone's time, I say, fine, I don't need you anyway. But the woman doesn't say, forget you, Jesus. I'll find someone who will listen to me. No, she persists in her begging. This is unlike Jesus. Why does he look ahead and not seem to care about the plight of the woman? He answers in verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The woman persisted through being ignored, but now she hears what sounds like a no. Jesus' eyes are fixed on the mission for which he came to earth. That was to keep his promises to the people of Israel. God made those promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that Israel would be his people, and he would be their God. Jesus came to save them from their sin so that he would be their God and king. Now, Gentiles would eventually be saved as well, but it would be through the salvation of the Jews. Israel was step one, and the other nations were step two. We here today are the product of that two-step plan. By the commissioning of the disciples, the gospel has reached and continues to reach the nations. Now, Jesus knows that the Gentiles will be grafted into the tree of believing Israel. So, why does he ignore this woman and answer her like this? If he was only sent to the house of Israel, why is he here in Gentile territory? And you may expect the woman to turn away at this statement, but she doesn't. Having been ignored and shown that she doesn't fit within the scope of Jesus' mission at the moment, she does what the house of Israel was supposed to do. She, in verse 25, came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." She does not stop her begging, though her outcome seems bleak. Where else will she go? To the idols of her people? They have not helped her daughter. She knows that the only one who can show her mercy is Jesus, and if he doesn't, she's doomed. The word used here for knelt is the word used for worship. Oftentimes we hear the word worship and we think of someone happily singing a song to God or shouting out with joy. But that is a limited view of worship. Worship can be, and oftentimes is, a happy affair, but it can also be solemn. All of you in the sanctuary are wearing masks, but you need not put on another kind of mask, acting happy if in fact you are in despair. Has God broken you? Does it seem like he has ignored you? Continue along with the Canaanite woman this morning. Worship him in your pain by crying out in your agony, "Lord, help me." A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. The Pharisees and scribes did not believe they needed Jesus' help. That is why Jesus recites Isaiah 29 to them. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." Jesus prepared a table for his own people, yet they refused to accept the food he offered them. Though he came to them with open arms, they believed they didn't need him. But now the cries of need reach Jesus' ear, not from the other end of the table, but from his feet. Looking down, Jesus answered the Canaanite woman, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." There's no denying that this is a harsh statement. Whether Jesus was referring to the kind of mangy dogs that were strays or the rarer kind that were household pets in that day, Jesus still calls this woman a dog. I don't know about you, but if someone called me a dog and then added the caveat, "You're a nice dog," I'd still be offended. This week I've been trying to imagine what kind of backlash Jesus would receive today if he said that on Twitter. "Excuse me? How dare you call me a dog? Oh, you think just because you're an Israelite, you're better than all of us?" Oh yes, Jesus would be canceled today by saying this one little phrase. In fact, many today use this text to say all sorts of egregious things about Christ, such as he was a racist, succumbing to the prejudices of the day. People even use this text to claim that Jesus must have been a sinner. But Jesus has crossed racial boundaries before. And he has ministered to Gentiles. One particular instance of Jesus' culturally unacceptable behavior is in John 4, when he talks to the Samaritan woman at the well. If ever there was racial tension, it was between the Jews and Samaritans. And Jesus ministers to them all the same. This also is the only instance in which Jesus speaks this way to someone who comes to him looking for help. Therefore, we must interpret this in light of Jesus' other encounters with people in need of him. He is always purposeful in what he does and says. Jesus made it clear that the scope of his earthly mission was to Israel. They are his dinner guests. He will not take their plates of food and offer them to the dogs. Angel and I are currently living with my mom, and she has a dog. Imagine for a moment with me that I invite you over for dinner. My wife and I spend an hour or two prepping a delicious meal. We purchase the best wine and bake an elaborate cake because we have promised that this meal, it will be a celebration of our friendship. And then after entering our home and sitting down at the table, what would go through your head if instead of plating food for you, I gave all your portion and my family's portion to my mom's dog? Heaven forbid, I pour the wine out and he lap it up. It is true that Jesus came to feed Israel first, but oh, the irony of this analogy. Israel has refused to eat. If you and I sat together for dinner, it would be absurd for me to give your food to the dog, but what offense I would take if you denied the food I put in front of you. Though this is a harsh statement to the woman, this is a biting rebuke of Israel. Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to sit them at his table and feed them, but they did not recognize him. They did not think they needed him. So they refused to receive what he offered. So he turns to the dog, begging for food. And in a voice that the children can hear, he says, I know you would gratefully eat my food, but I'm sorry, I really need to feed the children. Can you spot the elephant in the room? The Canaanite woman, she finds hope in Jesus' statement. Being considered a dog in the analogy means that she is at least in the presence of food. Verse 27, she said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. The word used for yes here is the word used to confirm something. Another way of translating it could be true, Lord. This woman agrees with Jesus that she is a dog. See, if she believes herself to be something greater than a dog, then she believes she can help herself. If she is the master, then she can find her own bread. But a dog begs for food. As many of the children look with skepticism at their plates of food, this dog barks and wails for just a taste. This woman is a dog. And so are you, and so am I. In Matthew 9:13, Jesus makes it known why he came to earth. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. If you think you are something great because of what you have accomplished, or if you think that you are good enough to be accepted by Christ, then what does his death mean to you? You have no need of his death. Jesus died on the cross for sinners. He saves those who humble themselves, who fall on their knees crying, "Yes, I am a dog. I deserve no place at your table. Have mercy on me, a sinner." When you come to this realization of who you truly are, any sized morsel you receive is eternal life to your soul. You will find hope in the crumbs of mercy. Oh, just to have a taste of the mercy of Jesus. Oh, the blessing of not being entitled to anything. A mere crumb that falls to the floor is salvation. Ignored, rejected, and exposed, the woman still has faith in Jesus, because to have faith in anything else is foolishness. He has the word of life. Only he can heal. Only he can offer the food that sustains. If he denies her, where else will she turn? No, the only answer is to continue falling to her knees before Jesus. This woman and you and I are unworthy to gather up the crumbs under his table. But for the one who acknowledges his sin before Jesus and cries out to him from beneath the table, his property is always to have mercy. And in verse 28, we see the master bend over to the dog and say, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. The woman's response is what Jesus is looking for. And by it, he shames Israel and shows that the unworthy dog is in fact more worthy than the ungrateful children. The Pharisees and scribes rejected the plate of Christ, but the woman feeds on him by faith with thanksgiving. What of you this morning? Have you sought to help yourself as the Pharisees and scribes? Do you think if you try harder next time, you can cut that sinful habit? Do you believe that you can right the sin of your past? Do not fool yourself. Come to Jesus and beg for food from his table. For he is the only one who can forgive you. And though you and I deserve not even crumbs, he gives himself to you freely as your food and drink. What of you already who are in Christ? Remain in his help. Are you beset by your sin and feel like you have no power to stop? Look to Christ, who has already forgiven you and who promises to help you in your fight. Do not be offended this morning when God calls you a sinner who deserves his wrath. Instead, cry out with the Canaanite woman, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." And you can say with confidence alongside C.S. Lewis in his novel, The Last Battle, "And this is the marvel of marvels, that he called me beloved, me who am but as a dog." Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for offering yourself upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sin. Lord, teach us to be like the Canaanite woman coming to you seeking mercy, not a favor. And may we feed on you this morning, the only true and sustaining food. Amen.